Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, for consider him that endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that you wax not weary, fainting in your souls. It is written, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It is written, wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down, and the palsied knees, and make straight paths for your feet, that that which is lame be not turned out of the way, but rather be healed. It is written, ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem.
For God is just a prayer away.
Wherefore, let us also, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We cannot all be heroes and thrill a hemisphere with some great daring venture, some deed that mocks at fear. But we can fill a lifetime with kindly acts and true. There's always noble service for noble hearts to do. We cannot all be preachers and sway with voice and pen, as strong winds saw the forest, the minds and hearts of men. But we can be evangels to some within our reach. There's always love's own gospel and loving hearts to reach. We cannot all be martyrs and win a deathless name, with some divine baptism and some great act of flame. But we can live for truth's sake, to live for Christ and dare. There's always faithful witness for faithful hearts to bear.
For God is just a prayer away.
gentlemen, the big race from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Christian life is a race. It is a greater race than the Kentucky Derby. It is a greater race than the Indianapolis 500 or any of the races ever run in the Olympic Games. The winner of the Christian race will not be called upon to perjure themselves for a price and endorse a cereal or a soap that they may never use. Furthermore, the Christian race is a marathon and not a 40-yard dash. I have seen many a person confess Jesus Christ as a Son of God, get immersed with the words for the remission of sins pronounced over them, and within a few weeks, gone. The Christian life is a race that begins when you rise from the waters of baptism and go on until you cross the finish line at the second coming of Jesus, or when the coroner pronounces you dead. Years ago, I visited an elderly couple, feeble with age, and the husband met me in the yard and informed me that he and his wife were in a race to see which one of them could get to heaven first. I have forgotten which one came in first. It was a matter of days, however, after I had the funeral of one, that I had the funeral of the other. Their race ended in almost a dead heat. I do not know whether it is a true story or not, but I read of a 10-year-old boy one time in Sunday school who was asked what he wanted to be when he grew up. He said, "I want to be a preacher." Someone asked, "Why do you want to be a preacher?" He said, "Well, it looks like I'm going to have to spend all my life in church anyway, and I would rather stand up and holler than sit down and be quiet." Any way you look at it, you are in it for the duration. So run with patience the race that is set before you. For he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. The Christian race is a race that requires great discipline, more discipline than any athlete training for the Olympics. Paul says, "They run for a corruptible crown that passeth away. We run for an incorruptible crown. The olive wreath for victory withered, and even the gold medal is not forever." One notable athlete won a gold medal in the Olympic Games and came home and threw it in the river. In Philippians 3, Paul said, "One thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And when he was about ready to face the headsman's sword, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, that righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but for all those who have loved his appearing." He said, "Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us." The ancient Greeks used to train by wearing weights on their shoes for training. But when they ran in the race, they let go with everything that could slow them down. Perhaps an artist could draw an accurate picture of the Christian runner. That picture would show the runner in a race wearing an overcoat, hip boots, carrying a fishing pole, a set of golf clubs, a bowling ball, and two bags of luggage. Much of our baggage is good stuff, but becomes sin when it may slow us down in our spiritual activity. I know of many personally who have time to read for hours all kinds of books, or look at television and spend little or no time with the Word of God. It is my observation after several decades of experience that most people can go to a church service week after week for a lifetime, month after month, year after year, and not know much more about the Bible than they did when they started. It is evident that most of our best church members are spiritual illiterates, and they will continue to be illiterate without the discipline of time, hours spent with the Bible. Remember, run is the verb that describes the action of the race of life. He did not say walk, hop, skip, jump, crawl, or even shuffle along. He said run, 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 run for your life. In running a marathon in the physical sense, a runner giving it all he has may be completely exhausted at the end of the race. In the spiritual race, however, the harder you run, the stronger you get. So lay aside every weight and the sin doth so easily beset you. Ladies and gentlemen, what is your besetting sin? What sin gives you more trouble than anything else? Each victory over temptations make you stronger for the rest, so run, run, run the race that is set before you. The greatest inspiration in running the race is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. That statement rings a bell as I read it. I've seen that statement somewhere else. It was said to the church at Laodicea. Jesus told them if they overcame, they also would sit down with him on his throne, even as he overcame and sat down with his Father in his throne. What Jesus said to any of those seven churches, he says to all churches. So as you run the race of life, think of the joy that is set before you. Endure the cross, despise the shame, and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eye on Jesus in the reading of his word, in the observance of the Lord's Supper, in the example he set before us. Then note an additional incentive that we are told he endured such contradictions against himself. The Son of God was contradicted many times. We have time to mention perhaps only about three. Number one, in the 8th chapter of John, he said, I am the light of the world. They contradicted him. They replied, Thou bearest witness of thyself, and thy witness is not true. In other words, the religious authority said Jesus was a liar. Number two, in the same chapter, Jesus said before Abraham was born, I am. They said, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus answered, Before Abraham was born, I am. They took up stones to cast at him. Did anyone ever throw a rock at you for telling them what Jesus said? Number three, Jesus told the apostles, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. People still contradict him. Millions today say, he said, He that believeth and is saved shall be baptized. That is a flat-out contradiction of what Jesus said. He endured the contradiction of sinners against him. The example of Jesus that gives inspiration above all else, however, is the fact that he resisted unto blood, striving against sin. His temptations were more severe than ours. Have you ever resisted a temptation until you sweated blood? Jesus did. He sweated blood over the decision about going to the cross to die for your sins and mine. Look unto Jesus in the time of temptation. So let us consider Jesus. No one had a harder race than he. Jesus is the author of the race. He's the one who laid out the course. He ran the race. He is the finisher of the course. He ran the same race we must run. and came in first and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do not think that because he was God in the flesh, that he had an easy time of it. He lived in the flesh with all of the disadvantages that any of us will ever have. Look at all of the disadvantages of Jesus. One thing, as far as the world was concerned, he was born out of wedlock. Joseph, her espoused husband, saw no other way but to put her away. It would be done privately, but an angel of the Lord explained to him that the child was of the Holy Spirit. Even in this day, when anything goes, a child born under such circumstances is at a disadvantage. So look unto Jesus as you run the race of life. That should have been enough to ruin his reputation right there, but consider also that he was born in a stable. Is there any worse place to be born than in a stable? To be born in a stable was a more lowly place than the log cabin that used to be thought as the most lowly place to begin life in our country. Today, politicians cannot claim they were born in log cabins anymore because we've just about run out of log cabins. Look unto Jesus. If that was not enough to ruin any position of leadership, consider that his parents were dirt poor. Mary and Joseph were the poorest of the poor. This we know because of the sacrifice Mary and Joseph offered when they brought the infant Jesus up to the temple at the eighth day for circumcision. They offered a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The offering, according to Leviticus 12, was supposed to be a lamb for the first year of life. But if the parents could not afford a lamb 1 year old, the turtle doves or pigeons would be a good substitute. What chance does a person today born out of wedlock in a stable with no visible resources have of amounting to anything? How do you feel now with your two cars, your cell phones, your indoor plumbing, your television, all the other gadgets? Look unto Jesus. Then think about the unfortunate occurrence that so much sorrow was caused by the birth of Jesus. Through no fault of his own, many families were heartbroken at the killing of the babes in Bethlehem. Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted because they are not. Spiritually or nationally, we cannot cave in to the devil and the modern-day terrorist who butcher others with the sword. To surrender is to perish. So look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Then consider again the fact that this poor family was forced to leave town and go to another country to escape the wrath of the highest authority in the land. They wanted to kill him. Ladies and gentlemen, I suppose you thought you had it tough. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and his trials. Then added to that, when they were finally allowed to move back, they went to a place that was just as bad as the slums in any inner city. He was raised in the worst neighborhood in Israel. It was a common saying at the time, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" In fact, his enemies actually used the place where he grew up to manhood against him. Look unto Jesus. How about his education? Ha! He never went to school. He never went to any of the great places of learning during his short stay on earth. In fact, people marveled at his intellect. Even his enemies said, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" It is hard for the wise of the world to understand that they are not truly educated within a knowledge of the New Testament. Jesus said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding, and didst reveal them unto babes." Paul said, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men." Look unto Jesus. Now add to this that Joseph probably died before Jesus was grown and left him, the oldest child, to become the breadwinner at an early age. In Mark 3, his enemies sneeringly called him the carpenter. The other members of the family are mentioned: his mother Mary, his half-brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and some sisters, and you thought you had it tough. Look unto Jesus. All of this added to the fact that he was more or less what you would call a street person. One man one time told Jesus, he said, I'll follow you wheresoever you go. Jesus kind of discouraged him. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. One example of the Lord having no place to lay his head was when he passed through Samaria in Luke 9. He sent some disciples on ahead to find lodging, and the Samaritans would not receive him. James and John asked for permission to call down fire out of heaven like Elijah and burn the town down. Jesus rebuked them. Although we can understand the frustration of the apostles, since many a time they had to sleep outside, the example of Jesus inspires us to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We cannot help but note that the Lord did not try to get along with some of the other religious leaders. One time they came to him and asked, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? He asked them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Even Peter thought the Lord was rather rude to these people. He said, Lord, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended by this saying? If Jesus had been like us, he would have said, well, I guess I must apologize for being so rude to those fellows. Instead, he said, let them alone. If the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, when you are tempted to compromise and say anything goes, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I suppose you could say that Jesus was not always politically correct. In Mark 3, one time, even his friends said, he's beside himself. In other words, they said he was crazy. Now that should be enough to make anybody back off. But he did not back off. Look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Then one of the strongest things that would have happened and hamper anyone is when the rest of your own family opposes you. In John 7, John tells us that even his brothers did not believe on him. Although his half-brother James later on changed his mind, the faith of millions has been destroyed by this device of the devil. When it comes to the religion of your family, look neither to the left nor to the right, but look straight up to Jesus. Look unto him who's the author and perfecter of our faith. And then how about the Garden of Gethsemane? According to Mark, is one of the hardest blows of all. When they seized him and led him away, Mark says, they all left him and fled. Jesus, or James rather, who said he could drink the cup that the Lord was about to drink, left him. Peter, who said he would never be offended in Jesus, denied him three times. Where were the multitudes who shouted Hosanna on the previous Sunday? Everybody left him. Sometimes you may come to the place in life when you also may have to stand alone. At such a time as that, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Of course, the apostles did repent and come back to Jesus, and they continue to be faithful. We're all aware of the martyrdom of Peter. Jesus promised him a martyr's death. Tradition has it that he was requested crucifixion upside down because he did not feel worthy to die at the same position as the Lord. And I have read also of a tradition that tells of the martyrdom of Peter's wife. just before his own. Peter encouraged her with the words, "Remember thou the Lord. Look unto Jesus." Take one more look at the sample set before us. Born out of wedlock, born in a stable, the poorest of the poor, his birth caused heartbreak to many families, forced to move to a foreign country, raised up as a child in the slums, never went to school, often during childhood, made breadwinner of the family, as an adult forced to live on the street regardless of the weather, never compromised with anyone to be popular, accused of being out of his mind, crazy, rejected for a while by some of his own family, deserted by his closest friends in his greatest hour of need, and finally executed for crimes he never committed. Ladies and gentlemen, is there anyone, any place, any time, anywhere, that can claim all of these disadvantages and still become the influence on humanity of Jesus of Nazareth? When the chief priests conspired to crucify Jesus, the common people gave the best testimony of all. Many of them said, "When the Christ shall come, will he do more signs than those which this man hath done?" That question sticks in the craw of every person who does not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. If he is not it, what are you looking for? So as the big race of life continues, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.